we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast today. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we're going to be spending the next 30 minutes together here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Or if you're listening later in the day, you might catch us on WWBC 1510 AM. So we've been discussing the anointing. We're basically working our way very slowly. Snails passed us a long time ago on Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And so that we're focusing on that anointing aspect right now. And most of the anointing that was done involved priests, it involved kings. In the New Testament, the word that is translated anointing means to smear. It was as in an ointment on your head. It was an act of consecration for divine purpose. And so we're going to be looking today in Acts chapter 10 is where we're going to begin looking. And you'll see that Jesus literally fulfilled that prophecy in Isaiah chapter 61. He had also talked about that when he was in the synagogue and read from the scriptures and rolled up the scroll, handed it to the attendant and said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That's it was the fulfillment of it. So we're going to be talking about that. I want to take this opportunity. I only have a few opportunities to invite you to this, but next Wednesday night, May the 3rd, we have a night of worship planned with music ministry Greg Wynn. He's from my part of the country. He is from Oklahoma. We actually grew up going to church together. He's a little bit older than I am, but his brother was my roommate for my junior year of college. And so we're looking forward to him being with us. He's a very talented guy. And so we'd like to invite you out Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And if you'd care to join us, and we're going to be worshiping the Lord and having a great time. So we want to mention that. This coming Sunday, we do not have Sunday night service, but we are going to be having a newcomers lunch following our Sunday morning service. If you'd care to join us, we would love to have you be a part of that. Our staff is going to be there. Our board is going to be there. And it's just an opportunity for people to get to know us a little bit better. And so we want to invite those who maybe aren't all that familiar with Merritt Assembly of God to come and just hang out with us a while. And we look forward to getting to know everybody just a little bit better. So those are some of the things that are coming up. We've got a Mother's Day luncheon that is coming up on the Saturday before Mother's Day. Lots of exciting things that are going on in the coming days. So with that being said, let's turn today to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 30. This is the story of Peter and Cornelius, the Roman centurion, as Peter is going to Cornelius' home to fulfill the mission that God has arranged for him to have. And so it says here in verse number 30, "So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So we're going to stop the reading there. Let me just remind you one more time of what it says in Isaiah that would be accomplished because the Spirit of the Lord God would come upon Jesus, because the Lord had anointed him. And this was what would take place: to preach good tidings to the poor, to send me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to those who are bound, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Comfort those who mourn, console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The anointing that we talk about is an anointing for purpose. And here in Acts chapter 10, we discover that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. When Peter begins his sermon to all those who had gathered in Cornelius' home, he said, "The word of God was sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word you know." Okay? I want to encourage you, if you are talking to someone, you need to find out where they're at. If you are there to bring edification to them, you have to know where they are at. If you don't know where a person is, you can't help them to get to the next level. You might find out that they're farther along than you, and at that point in time, you need to stop talking and start listening. And so I was at a meeting this last weekend. We had a wonderful men's retreat, and in one of the workshops that I attended, one of the speakers said this: "Ask lots of questions. Ask lots of questions, because you will find out things that you don't know." And so Peter, when he was going to Cornelius' home, he said, "Okay, this is what I know that you already know." A lot of times in Christian circles, we assume that people know the Bible. I want you to know that there has been such a concerted effort to distance people from the Bible that most of the things that Christians assume people know, they don't know. You start talking John 3:16, And they may not know what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The only thing that they really know from Scripture, those people who are living outside of church right now, is whatever they've managed to glean. And let me tell you what that is. That is, you can do whatever you want, and the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. That's, you know, where John 3:16 used to be a universally known verse. Now, the only scripture that people tend to have is, judge not lest you be judged, and God is love. God is love. And I want you to know that those two statements are true, but you have to understand the context of those things. You have to understand that God sent his son into the world because that was the only way to bring about redemption. And so for people to say that God doesn't expect anything out of us, that just is not a scriptural truth. And so Peter began to address Cornelius, and he said, that word you know. That word was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now listen to verse number 38. This is the book of Acts, fifth book in the New Testament, chapter 10, verse number 38. By the way, I literally heard of someone who, when the pastor told them what chapter it was and what verse, they said, thank you for explaining that, because we've had people talk about, you know, names of books and give references, and we never knew what those things were. You might be surprised that Rick Warren's advice to Pentecostals, Rick Warren's not a Pentecostal, he's a pastor's Saddleback Community Church in California. But he said, look, the body of Christ needs you. We're on different, we have a few different beliefs, but the body of Christ needs the assemblies of God. He was addressing the assemblies of God. He said, we need you. We need you to be distinctly Pentecostal. He said, but what we also need is for you to explain to people what is going on, because when something happens without an explanation, there is confusion that takes place. And so I want to encourage you to get to know the audience to whom you are speaking well enough so that you can say, okay, this is the foundation. This is what you know. And he goes on and he says, the word that you know, you need to understand this, that God sent Jesus anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now, he was anointed. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our High Priest. And so you could look at that and say, okay, well, he received a priestly anointing. He received a king. But I want you to know this is a spiritual anointing. It wasn't oil that was smeared across his forehead, but instead, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now, you have to understand that the Holy Spirit was, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was given to the people in the upper room. Then it was the Holy Spirit was given to those who were on there at the day of Pentecost that were being preached to. And Peter said, this promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off. I want you to know that every car engine needs that oil to minimize the friction. We live in a very contentious world, and we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Cornelius and all those who were listening while Peter was preaching, when he mentioned what would bring about remission of their sins, all of a sudden, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and they began to speak with tongues and magnify God. So what was the purpose? Why did the angel speak to Cornelius and say, you need to send for Simon Peter. He's going to come. I've got something for you. What he had was the message of salvation through Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is what he had for Cornelius and for his household. Why did he send for Peter? Peter and the rest of the disciples needed to realize that the anointing that God wanted was not just for a select few, but it was for all those who will call upon the name of the Lord, whether they are Jewish or whether they are Gentile. Today, I don't care what your background is. I want you to know that God has anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, and he wants you to experience the blessings of that anointing that Jesus walked in. Okay? What was accomplished? It wasn't just an act for the sake of an act. God doesn't waste anything. He is not just into ceremony and to ritual. In fact, he despises that. He's not looking for people who will just go through recitations of words and use verbiage that sounds very flowery. But no, he's looking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. On Sunday night, I was at our prayer meeting. I was sharing with people that it is our privilege to set a banquet table for the King. That it is our privilege to set a banquet table where we can have koinonia, fellowship with the Lord God Almighty. And I said, if I'm going to invite you over to my house for dinner, I'm going to find out what type of food that you like so that when you come to my house that you will be experiencing the food that is going to be pleasing and acceptable to you. If you invite me over to your house for dinner, don't serve me pickled lamb tongue. You will find that I don't like it. If you invite me over to your house for dinner, don't serve me liver and onions because I don't like it. And I don't mean to be offensive. I was trained as a on my first missions trip to eat whatever set before me. But you might find that I'm going to have to do some serious doctoring in order to make that work. Now, I've tried a few things as an adult that I didn't care for as a child and found out my taste buds had changed towards that a little bit. They had matured. But there are some things that I've tried and I said, no, you know what? I didn't like it as a kid, and I don't like it as an adult either. And so what kind of banquet table would you set for God? What would you put on the menu? What would you set out before him? Because I want my fellowship with God to be sweet. And so he's looking for worshipers. He's looking for people who will stand in the gap. He is looking for people who will seek him with all their heart. And so I want to encourage you today, if you're going to prepare a feast for God, that you plan to do so accordingly. While I'm sharing that, we are already in feast preparation mode for our 65th anniversary service in June. June 10th, Saturday night, and June 11th, Sunday morning. We're going to be having Jerry Hill, J-E-R-I. She was married to Steve Hill, the evangelist that God used mightily at Brownsville, where hundreds of thousands of people gave their life to Jesus. And I think it was like 150,000 people gave their heart to the Lord during a five-year revival. And we're looking forward to her ministry. In fact, every time I hear a report of her ministry, and this is from people who, you know, are not on her team, they're just saying, you know, hey, this is the glorious things that are happening. And so we're looking forward to a night of worship on June the 10th and a night of encountering God, that there's going to be the presence of the Holy Spirit there. We want you to put that on your calendar now so that you can join us Saturday night, June the 10th, and Sunday morning, June the 11th. We are looking forward to what God is going to do. So, why was Jesus anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power? I want you to know that in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, you read that Jesus is talking to the disciples and he tells them, he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." When you and I are anointed with the Holy Spirit, there is power. We had a missionary with us this last Sunday, Jeff Stout. He was in my youth group when I was a youth pastor down in Melbourne a long, long time ago. He's just done a phenomenal work of working in young people's lives in Europe over the past, and this is, I just can't believe it's been that long, 16 years. 16 years he's been laboring in Europe and just doing great and mighty things. And so he talked about having getting a phone call when he was just out of Bible college from the pastor, and the pastor said, "Hey, somebody just called and they said that they've got a family member who's manifesting demonic involvement in their life, and so I told him to meet us at the church, and so we're gonna go cast this devil out." And so when they get there, he'd never done anything like that. The pastor said, "You know, I've done this hundreds of times, so I'm just gonna let you take care of it." And he said what he realized when he got into that encounter was that the demon was more afraid of the Jesus and the God inside of him than he was of that demon. I want you to know that the power of God is no match for Satan. God is an omnipotent God. The authority that you have in Christ is a very real authority. It is a very validated authority. It is a powerful authority. And so I want you to understand today that greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. You do not have to walk in fear. What happened when Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And so I want you to know that when the Holy Spirit anoints you, you are going to be a person of action. Jesus was a person of action. He went to where the problems were. He went to where the people were. He wasn't just waiting for the people to come to him. He was a mobile ambassador for Father God. He was a man on the move. And when you and I are anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, we are not just going to be huddling together waiting for the devil to come to us. Instead, we are going to be realizing that God has anointed us with the Holy Ghost and power to go to where the problems and the people are so that there can be deliverance in Jesus' name. It says, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. It's one thing for us to say, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's an entirely different matter when we start walking in the truth of that revelation and say, God, you gave me for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You gave me the power of Almighty God inside of me so that we could experience spiritual victory. I want to remind you that every time the devil manifests himself in the presence of Jesus or in the presence of validated spirit-filled believers. Now, I qualified that because the seven sons of Sceva were operating in head knowledge without the spiritual reality living inside of their heart. But when that demon spoke even to the seven sons of Sceva, he said, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Who are you?" And so if Jesus had been dealing with that demon-possessed person, if Paul had been dealing with that demon-possessed person, that demon would have been on the move, on the move. You see, the Bible says if we will submit to God and resist the devil, that the devil will flee. I want to encourage you today that if you are not walking with that spiritual anointing and that power, powerful anointing that God has for you, that you will submit yourself to God, that you will submit yourself to His Word. Because if you start resisting Him if you will start resisting the devil before submitting to God, you're going to experience a lot of frustration and defeat. But whenever we submit to God and then resist the devil, you will find that the devil will flee, because God gives grace to the humble. And He gives us more grace and more grace and more grace. Why do we just sit and watch people suffer when we have available to us from God an anointing, a power, a promise that could make those people's lives so much better? Why do we not have to be afraid? Because God is with us. Now, I just happen to love Acts chapter 10. Now, you have to understand, I'm a preacher. I love to communicate the gospel, and I'm trying to get better at communicating the gospel. But I want you to know that when the Holy Spirit is actively dealing with people, He's not just dealing with people on one end of the equation, He's dealing with people on both sides of the situation. And so while Peter was speaking and flowing and communicating the words of truth, the Holy Spirit had brought Cornelius and everybody in that place to that place that they were ready to say yes to Jesus. And He said, "Have I got a gift for this Roman centurion?" And there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that flooded that place, that flooded that room, touched everybody there, and it shocked not only those who were receiving, it was a surprise to Peter. So I try to be sensitive to when I'm speaking. If the Holy Spirit says, "It is time for me to do what I was sent here to do," at that point in time, I need to remember that it's God's house, it's God's message, and it's God's timing. Today, you might be faced with overwhelming situations, or you might just be ready for God to take you into that powerful place where you too can be not only saved, you can be a deliverer. You can be somebody who's used by God to bring the freedom to somebody else. God, do it again. Do it today in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."